Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, April 2nd, 2019. Coming up this hour,
the pound weakens after another Brexit stalemate in Parliament.
Shares of Lyft plunge below Friday's IPO price.
Boeing pushes back the timeline for a fix to its MAX jets.
And U.S. automakers release sales figures for March.
House Democrats plan to issue subpoenas into the handling of security clearances at the White House. Plus, look for likely subpoenas for the full Mueller report. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Yankees battling injuries, but they beat the Tigers at the stadium. The Mets won, ninth inning in Miami. The Knicks won, Nets and Islanders lost. Devils beat the Rangers.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 991 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good morning, I'm John Tucker.
I'm Nathan Hager, and the global stock rally is losing steam this morning. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 3 points at the moment. Dow futures down 24. NASDAQ futures down nearly 6. The DAX in Germany and the CAC in Paris little changed at the moment. Price of the 10-year Treasury up 8/32. The yield at 2.47%. Two-year Treasuries at 2.29%. NYMEX crude up 0.4% or 26 cents at $61.84 a barrel. COMEX gold down about 0.25% or $3.50 at $12.90 an ounce. The euro trading at 1.1198 to the dollar. The yen at 111.39. John.
And Nate, we begin in the UK, where a no-deal Brexit is becoming more likely after Parliament rejected all options to replace Theresa May's plan. Now the Prime Minister convenes a cabinet meeting to weigh her next move. And Bloomberg's David Merritt has more from London.
We've learned with this process that no vote seems to be final, apart from perhaps the one in 2016. So not only is Parliament going to have another go, but Mrs. May herself potentially could try to bring that thrice-defeated deal back for a fourth attempt, possibly tomorrow or even on Thursday. Is she going to do that? Well, we'll find out possibly after this epic five-hour meeting of the Cabinet this morning.
Sources tell Bloomberg the Cabinet is likely weighing two options: postpone the date for leaving the EU or allow more time to resolve the deadlock in Parliament.
Meanwhile, Goldman Sachs sees a big finish coming for Brexit this week. Zach Pandel is Goldman's co-head of global foreign exchange.
We do think that you are making progress despite these failed votes. The customs union approach, a kind of soft version of Brexit, came within three votes in Parliament. And so we think that we're angling towards a softer Brexit package, probably a permanent customs union, possibly packaged together with a second referendum. And we think that that will be coming together in the next 1 to 2 days.
And the pound is weaker this morning. It is currently trading at 1.3044 to the dollar.
And as the European Union squares off with Britain, it's also struggling to reach a consensus on trade talks with the U.S. EU governments appear unable to decide on a mandate to begin negotiations with Washington. Bloomberg's Christine Burke reports.
Sources have told Bloomberg the main sticking points are the role of climate and the environment, given that the U.S. pulled out of the Paris Climate Accord. And what that really means is that we may see a delay in the EU issuing an official mandate to start those negotiations with the U.S. And this may all come to a head tomorrow as we see EU ambassadors meet to discuss the situation.
Bloomberg News has seen a draft mandate prepared for that meeting, which reiterates that the EU seeks trade accords only with countries that have agreed to the Paris Climate Accord.
All right, turning to markets now. Bitcoin is surging this morning. It's reached the highest level since November. The rally briefly pushed Bitcoin above $5,000. Comes after a relatively quiet year so far for the digital currency. Checking Bitcoin now, it's at $4,701.
And in Asia today, the stock rally ran out of steam with just modest equity moves in the region. And Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us with details from our Singapore bureau. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, John and Nathan. The Nikkei 225 in Tokyo and China's CSI 300 index were little changed, while benchmarks gained in Shanghai, Taipei and Seoul. Australia outperformed ahead of the government's budget announcement. The Aussie dollar fell and yields on the Aussie 10-year note ticked up after the country's central bank left the official cash rate at a record low 1.5% for the 29th meeting in a row. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Saleh, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. Back here in the U.S., shares of Lyft plunged 11% yesterday to finish the session 4% below their IPO price. Dan Ives is equity analyst at Wedbush Securities.
Look, I mean, it's been a mini nightmare scenario. I mean, for this company where the red carpet's rolled out to drop below IPO price second day was something that I think not just tech investors, Lyft, as well as many in the Valley are watching. You know, we continue to think the big issue here is profitability. I mean, I continue to think there's a better chance of man being on Mars than Lyft having a profit. And that's the fundamental issue that I continue to hear from investors, you know, all day on valuation.
And shares of Lyft right now are down another nearly 2% in early trading. And it could be an ominous sign for other unicorn companies that are planning to go public this year, including Uber, Pinterest, and Slack.
As Boeing grapples with the fallout from its grounded MAX jets, the plane maker says it's needing more time to complete a software upgrade for the aircraft. Let's get details from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellet.
The safety system linked to two fatal crashes since October is being revamped by Boeing to make it less aggressive in pushing down a plane's nose and to add redundancy so that it's less likely to malfunction. Boeing had said it intended to present the Federal Aviation Administration with the software for approval by last week, but that schedule appears to have been pushed back. In a statement, the agency said, quote, the FAA expects to receive Boeing's final package of its software enhancement over the coming weeks for FAA approval. Charlie Pellet, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. And coming up today, automakers release U.S. sales figures for March. We get a preview from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Industry researchers have low expectations for the March numbers, saying sales likely declined for the third month in a row as car prices increased and manufacturers held back on discounts. LMC Automotive projects retail sales for the first quarter were the weakest for any first quarter since 2013. Retail sales exclude deliveries to fleet customers such as the rental car companies. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Jeff. And S&P futures right now down about 5 points. The Dow futures 27 points lower. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's now 5:07 on Wall Street. Let's get news from around the world this morning. And we say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, John. House Democrats say they will subpoena a former official in the White House Personnel Security Office after a woman who works there told them that top secret clearances were handled improperly, including some for top aides to the president. Oversight and Reform Chairman Elijah Cummings says his panel is working with the whistleblower who says that she and others in the office denied more than 24 applications for clearances, only to see them overturned by supervisors.
What you have here are people who literally have the top secrets of the world, not just our country, but the world, with access to them, and they have not been properly cleared.
Meanwhile, White House advisor Jared Kushner is defending his security clearance during an appearance on Fox News.
Over the last 2 years that I've been here, I've been accused of all different types of things, and all of those things have turned out to be false. We've had a lot of crazy accusations, like that we colluded with Russia.
House investigators plan a vote tomorrow on whether to authorize subpoenas to obtain special counsel Robert Mueller's full report into Russian meddling into the 2016 presidential election. Subpoenas will also be directed to former White House officials like Steve Bannon and Reince Priebus. NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg is marking the alliance's 70th anniversary in Washington this week and meets with President Trump today. Bloomberg's Bob Moon reports.
The New York Times reported in January that multiple times Trump has privately raised the threat of pulling the U.S. out of NATO. Stoltenberg says he's not concerned since Trump still publicly declares his commitment to NATO, and that's not all.
Also, we see a very strong bipartisan support from the U.S. Congress to NATO.
Trump has said he has a friend in Stoltenberg who understands the need for other nations to be financially committed to NATO.
I think he's the biggest fan of Trump. because he said we couldn't collect money until President Trump came along.
Trump has insisted he's helped keep NATO from going out of business. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
A bipartisan group of House members from New York and New Jersey urged the Transportation Department to complete an environmental review for a proposed new tunnel that will be part of the Gateway Project connecting their two states. The lawmakers said the proposed Hudson Tunnel Project has been under review for 11 months. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 5:10 on Wall Street, time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. And here's John Stashower.
John, the game for the Yankees was a 3-1 win over the Tigers that they needed coming off two straight losses to the lowly Orioles. Domingo Germán got the win. Bullpen worked the last three innings. Gary Sanchez and Brett Gardner with solo home runs. The bigger story, the injuries. First came news of a Giancarlo Stanton biceps problem. He's on the injured list, may not play for a month. And then about a half hour before the game started, Yankees put Miguel Andujar on the injured list. Here's Aaron Boone.
It's a small labrum tear. We're going to treat it conservatively for a couple weeks and see how he responds to it. His physical test with the doctor is actually really good. So there is some optimism that if treated conservatively, he can respond and come back and play. So, but we'll know that in a couple weeks.
It's also possible Andujar, who had a terrific rookie season, could need season-ending surgery. The Mets, who lost in the ninth inning Sunday, won in the ninth. In Miami, they scored four times, capped by a long three-run homer by Pete Alonso. First of his big league career, they beat the Marlins 7-3. A's blanked the Red Sox 7-0. Boston is 1-4. Knicks and Nets both at home. Rare win for the Knicks. 113-105 over Chicago. Ends a six-game losing streak. The Nets, beaten by Milwaukee, who's got the NBA's best record, 131-121, but the teams Brooklyn's battling with for a playoff spot all lost as well, Detroit, Miami, and Orlando. John Tavares' second game back at the Coliseum, he scored. Toronto topped the Islanders 2-1. The Devils beat the Rangers 4-2. For the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. John?
All right, thanks, John. March Madness is helping boost TV ratings. Michigan State's victory over Duke drew a 10.5 rating, the highest for a late Sunday regional final in 14 years. And the four Elite Eight games from Saturday and Sunday, they drew a 7.2 rating, the second highest for the tournament's second weekend since 2011. CBS Sports, Turner Sports, say Nielsen ratings for the entire tournament are up 8% from last year's heading into Saturday's Final Four. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak being brought to you by National Realty. NRIA, developers of high-return income-producing properties for investor partners. See them at NRIA.net.
Global news, 24 hours a day, at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Nathan Hager. The global stock rally is losing some steam in the wake of big gains at the start of the week. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg Radio. S&P futures down 2.5 points. Dow futures down 17 points. NASDAQ futures down 6. The DAX in Germany, CAC in Paris, little changed this morning. 10-year Treasury up 8/32. The yield at 2.47%. Two-year Treasuries at 2.29%. NYMEX crude up 0.5% or 35 cents at $61.95 a barrel. COMEX gold down nearly 0.25% or $3 at $12.91.20 an ounce. The euro at 1.12 against the dollar. The yen at 111.37. That is a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now with more of what's going on around the world, here's Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. President Trump's son-in-law and senior advisor, Jared Kushner, is pushing back after a White House whistleblower claimed 25 people had their security clearances initially denied but were overruled. Kushner on Fox says, over the last 2 years that I've been here, I've been accused of all different types of things. All of those things have turned out to be false. House investigators plan a vote tomorrow on whether to authorize subpoenas to obtain special counsel Robert Mueller's full report. In baseball, the Yankees won along with the Mets, the Orioles, and the Giants. The Red Sox lost to the A's 7-0. In the NHL, the Devils beat the Rangers 4-2. The Islanders lost along with the Capitals. In the NBA, the Nets lost, the Knicks won along with the Celtics. And in college basketball, the women's NCAA Final Four is set. Baylor versus Oregon. Notre Dame will take on UConn. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 520 on Wall Street, we're live for the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, and this is Bloomberg Daybreak. Well, the global economy is wobbling in 2019, giving rise to recession fears and forcing the world's central banks to consider renewed policy easing. And against that backdrop, the S&P 500, well, look at this, up over 14% year-to-date. Jeffrey Yu is the Chief Investment Officer at UBS Private Banking. He joins us now. Jeff, that's a big wall of worry.
Well, it is a wall of worry, but if we compare to, you know, sentiment, you know, right now compared to the end of last year, I would say, you know, that markets are probably in a better place. You know, otherwise we wouldn't have had, you know, such a good Q1 move. I mean, but at the same time, probably need to temper expectations. Anything can happen. You know, overall, it's a situation of let's price in reality, not overreact, either good news or bad news, and manage risk appropriately. And that's the attitude we're taking towards our clients right now.
All right, let's talk about reality. Q4 GDP, that's in the rearview mirror. But to what extent did that give us a preview of earnings? Are earnings recession fears legit?
Well, you know, that's a very interesting point you make there. Recession, earnings, recessions, you know. So, you know, these are three different things which I think we need to take in individual terms. You know, where we really strongly push back against was the notion of an outright recession. Yes, some probability gauges have moved up, but that really, you know, shouldn't, you know, be in any frontline scenario, you know, at this point. Earnings, you know, going to be soft, you know, that's for sure. We're seeing that globally. Earnings recession, no, we push back against that too. Having said that, it seems like the burden of proof right now is on corporates to actually show they can continue to grow, and more importantly, to show they have pricing power. That's something a lot of central banks globally, in the context of weak inflation, are concerned about right now. Where do you get the pricing power from?
Okay, well, let me move to China and the trade talks at this point. I would argue, perhaps, that it's a good thing, because the trade tensions between the United States and China have forced the Chinese to implement a policy, basically trying to prop up their economy at this point. And that has been good for global equities.
That is one side of it, but also, you know, where credit is due, you know, to the administration, you know, in D.C., we should often, you know, ask this question. The foreign investment law, for example, this year, would that have been launched so early had the trade wars, had tensions, you know, not be in place? And this is a key demand of the U.S. I know Beijing's, you know, loth to show that it had succumbed to pressure or was doing something, you know, due to external pressure. But put it this way, even if it's, you know, some step conducive to reform for China, which may even hurt growth in the short term, I think that's something over the medium to longer term, you know, Beijing should be happy about and should be grateful, you know, for, to be frank. So I think on all accounts, this is, you know, something the global economy should welcome, but at the same time, expectations are quite elevated right now. So, you know, the risk, and maybe it's a not insignificant risk of things falling apart, you know, at the 11th hour, you know, that still is something for us to focus on as well.
At this point, is the market front-running the Federal Reserve's patience, and for that matter, global banks across the world with their low rates?
Well, patience, I think you can define it in two ways. Patience means patience until they actually go back to a hiking cycle, or patience before they decide, you know, what things are really, really concerning right now, time to ease. I think there's no front running right now because the market really is, you know, attuned to what's going to happen in June, you know, at the Chicago Fed symposium, right? So is there going to be a change in the Fed's framework, or is it much ado about nothing? So it seems like the market's going to be patient for the Fed's patience, you know, heading into that, but because if there is going to be a change in the framework, then all the models, you know, need to be reassessed. But again, we push back against the notion of things are so bad, there's going to be recession, such that the Fed is patient until it decides to cut rates. I think that really is stretching things a bit too much. But clearly, we need inflation expectations to move up. You know, we need kind of a kick for the global economy, you know, right now, and that's what the Fed is waiting for.
Are we going to see inflation kick up then?
Well, inflation kick up over the medium to longer term, I think over a 2 to 3 year horizon, that will, you know, come through. I think, you know, if we're moving, you know, towards a reacceleration in the cycle, it is something to look forward to. But again, how do we get there? That's the important thing. Are we going to look at another fiscal stimulus, or is it going to be policy on easy mode, you know, for a sustained period of time? So let's talk about the Fed allowing, you know, some degree of, you know, overheating. Again, that's going to be decided in June. So when focused efforts globally by central banks are towards an inflation push, I do think, you know, we can look forward to that happening. But expectations, you know, they clearly need to pick up at this point. If I look at the forward break-evens, it's showing some degree of skepticism.
Jeff, always a pleasure to talk to you. Jeffrey Yu, Chief Investment Officer at UBS Private Banking. And ahead of the market open on Wall Street, futures right now in the U.S., they are pointing to a slightly lower open after yesterday's rally. S&P futures right now, they are down 2 points. The Dow E-mini futures, they are 16 points lower. And NASDAQ futures are down 5 points. Yield on the benchmark 10-year note in the U.S., 2.47%. That's down 3 bips right now, 3 basis points. This is Bloomberg. And Bloomberg Daybreak being brought to you by Withum, a forward-thinking, technology-driven advisory and accounting firm helping clients be in a position of strength in today's modern business landscape. Visit Withum.com to learn more.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm John Tucker. Bloomberg Daybreak is being brought to you by Eisner Amper, named best global accounting firm for the third year in a row by Hedgeweek, a leading hedge fund industry publication. Learn more at EisnerAmper.com/FS.
And we are just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. The global stock rally is losing some steam in the wake of big gains to begin the second quarter. U.S. futures are lower following yesterday's 1.2% gain for the S&P 500.
In the U.K., the pound is weakening after Parliament once again failed to reach a consensus on Brexit. We get details from Bloomberg's Thomas Penny in London.
Lawmakers failed for a second time to back any of the alternatives to the Prime Minister's EU divorce deal, and patience, time and options are running out. Theresa May will chair a marathon 5-hour meeting of her cabinet as she seeks a way through the Brexit deadlock that has paralysed British politics. Leaving without an agreement, asking Brussels for a long extension, or calling a snap general election are among the choices on the table. In London, Thomas Penny, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Thomas, thank you. European Union governments are risking a delay in trade talks with the U.S. that could further provoke President Trump. Sources tell Bloomberg EU leaders are struggling to reach consensus on a mandate to begin negotiations. The main sticking points include the role of climate and environment.
Coming up at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time, the U.S. government issues data on factory orders for durable goods. Economists forecast a 1.8% decline for February, and Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Junais reports.
The prior report showed durable goods orders rose in January for the third month in a row. Bloomberg Economics says a slowdown in aircraft orders will probably sway today's data, though capital investment should rebound this year, assuming the economy holds up. On Monday, industry data pointed to a rebound in March manufacturing. Vinny Del Junais, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Hi, Vinny. Thank you. Boeing says it needs more time to complete a software fix for its grounded 737 MAX jets. Engineers are working to update a stall prevention system linked to 2 fatal crashes. Boeing says it won't be ready until the, quote, coming weeks.
Shares of Lyft are down another 2% this morning. Yesterday, shares of the ride-hailing company fell 11% to drop below its IPO price of $72.
And the Bitcoin rally is back. At one point, the digital currency surged above $5,000 overnight. Right now, it's at $4,784. Well, the equity rally seems to have lost some steam. S&P futures down a point right now. Dow futures down 10. NASDAQ futures down 5 points. 10-year Treasury 2.47% and the 2-year at 2.29%. Straight ahead, we bring you the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Yeah, thanks, Nate. 5:33 on Wall Street. And let's get news from around the world this morning. Once again, we say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, John. House Oversight Committee Chairman Elijah Cummings plans to issue subpoenas this week as part of Democrats' investigations into the handling of security clearances at the White House. This after a whistleblower told the panel the Trump administration granted clearances to at least 25 individuals despite red flags. Cummings says every American should be concerned.
If there is an abuse that certainly might threaten national security, it would be legislative and congressional malpractice for us not to deal with them.
Meanwhile, White House advisor Jared Kushner tells Fox News that all of the allegations against him over the past 2 years have turned out to be false.
When I came to Washington, I had a very successful business career. I had extensive holdings. I disclosed all my holdings to the Office of Government Ethics. And what I did with that is they told me what to divest, what to keep, what rules to follow.
Today is the deadline set by the House for Attorney General William Barr to release the Mueller report. Barr has said he would release a redacted version by mid-April. The House Judiciary Committee votes this week to authorize a subpoena for the full unredacted version. President Trump says a program that helps federal inmates find jobs as they leave prison should have been enacted a long time ago. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
Mr. Trump says it's a follow-up on legislation last year called the First Step Act. It gave judges more discretion and rehabilitation efforts. At the Prison Reform Summit, he introduced what he calls the Second Step Act.
This landmark legislation will give countless current and former prisoners a second chance at life and a new opportunity to contribute to their communities, their states, and their nations.
He says it will focus on unemployed Americans with past criminal records. He says they currently are unemployed at rates up to 5 times the national average. He says he wants to focus on reentry. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
A 22-year-old man accused of killing a Queens jogger in 2016 was found guilty last night on all charges in a retrial. There was a huge eruption of cheers inside the courtroom after the jury foreman announced the guilty verdict for Channel Lewis.
We, the jury, find the defendant guilty. Yeah.
The father of the victim, Katrina Vetrano, says justice has been served. Chicago is voting for a new mayor today in a runoff election. Tony Preckwinkle is up against Lori Lightfoot. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 5:36 on Wall Street, time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning, John Stashower.
John, the Yankee injury list keeps growing. It's got three of the top pitchers, Luis Severino, CC Sabathia, Dylan Betances, plus Aaron Hicks, Didi Gregorius, and now they've added two more of their best hitters. Giancarlo Stanton's got a biceps injury. Miguel Andujar, a small labrum tear. His injury, the more serious of the two. Andujar, second in the AL Rookie of the Year voting last season, could need season-ending surgery. Reaction from Aaron Judge.
Guys just step up. That's it. You know, we got a, you know, deep farm system, deep organization, and, you know, when guys go down, you know, everyone's ready to step up and, you know, fill their spot, you know, especially when hearing about G, you know, being out and, you know, other guys, but, you know, guys just step up and fill that role.
Yanks called up Clint Frazier and Tyler Wade. They beat the Tigers at the stadium 3-1. Gary Sanchez and Brett Gardner with solo homers. The Mets didn't lead in Miami until the ninth inning when they scored 4 times and won 7-3. First big league homer for Pete Alonso, a long 3-run shot in the ninth. His manager is Mickey Callaway.
We knew that that was going to come at some point, so it's not a surprise, but it's still a special occasion for a young player, you know. And they're shifting Pete, and he tries to stay through the ball, and he hits a bomb to center because of the approach. So there's excitement here, and it should be for a long time. It's pretty neat.
Among the games tonight, the Phillies in Washington, Bryce Harper returned. John Tavares returned and scored, and Toronto topped the Islanders 2-1. Devils beat the Rangers 4-2. Knicks over the Bulls 113-105. Nets lost to the Bucks at Barclays 131-121. Nets got some help. Losses by Detroit, Miami, and Orlando. 4 teams separated by a game and a half. 3 of the 4 will make the playoffs. With a Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. John?
John, thanks a lot. 5:37 on Wall Street. The latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now with the cover on unicorns spreading fear of an end to the bull market. Also in this week's issue, why economists are actually terrible at forecasting recessions. Peter Coy wrote the story for Bloomberg Businessweek.
It's not easy. That's, I think, the first thing you have to say. It's easy to laugh at economists for missing recessions or forecasting ones that never occur.
Well, you can read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now. And listen to Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time right here on Bloomberg Radio. It is now 5:38 on Wall Street. Time now for the Tri-State Business Report. And for that, we are joined live by Bloomberg's Ed Corey. Good morning, Ed.
Hi, John. A new mansion tax is included in the latest New York State budget. It replaces the annual pied de terre levy. Brokers say the new tax would be a one-time payment that's less likely to scare buyers away. The higher mansion tax will apply to most buyers of homes costing $2 million or more. Manhattan home purchases fell for a sixth straight quarter in the first 3 months of the year. The number of condos and co-ops in the market continued to rise. Transactions totaled 2,121. That was the fewest for a first quarter since 2009, according to appraiser Miller Samuel in brokerage Douglas Elliman Real Estate. Sources tell Bloomberg AT&T's Warner Media will sell its stake in a Hudson Yards office tower on Manhattan's far west side to related companies and partners for more than $2 billion. They say Related plans to lease back the 1.5 million square foot space at 30 Hudson Yards to Warner Media. At your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report, I'm Ed Corey. John?
Ed, thanks. It's 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in now with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Joan Doniger telling KNX listeners in Los Angeles why Elon Musk is welcoming word that hackers got into Tesla's autopilot system.
I'm Andrew O'Day on 1010 Winds in New York. I'm reporting on the New York Stock Exchange seizing another hot tech IPO over its rival NASDAQ.
I'm Matt Miller on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're following Theresa May's marathon 5-hour cabinet meeting as she tries to hash out a Brexit plan.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and on WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that Boeing says it needs more time to finish a software upgrade for the grounded 737 MAX.
I'm Ed Corey on KFBK in Sacramento. I'm reporting Tesla has settled with the EPA over federal hazardous waste violations.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. This on a morning when S&P futures are down 2 points. The Dow futures are up 5 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Daybreak brought to you by Marks Paneth LLP. Marks Paneth tax advisors have helped family businesses reach their financial goals for over 100 years. At Marks Paneth, success is personal. Learn more at markspaneth.com/tax.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Nathan Hager. Stock index futures are holding steady, pointing to a flat open as Treasuries rally after falling the most in 3 months yesterday. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 1.5. Dow futures down 3 points. NASDAQ futures down 4. The DAX and CAC in Europe, little change this morning. Price of the 10-year Treasury up 8/32. The yield at 2.47%. 2-year Treasuries 2.29%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.7% now, up 43 cents at $62.02 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.1% or $2.10 at $12.92.10 an ounce. The euro at 1.1202 against the dollar. The yen at 111.34. That is a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now with more on what's going on around the world, here's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Congress is preparing for a legal battle as today is the deadline set by the House for Attorney General William Barr to release the Mueller report. Barr has said he would release a redacted version by mid-April. The House Judiciary Committee votes this week to authorize a subpoena for the full unredacted version. House Oversight Committee Chair Elijah Cummings says he plans to subpoena White House former Director of Personnel Security over issues with security clearances for dozens of administration officials. In baseball, the Yankees won along with the Mets, the Orioles, and the Giants. The Red Sox lost to the A's. In the NHL, the Devils beat the Rangers. The Islanders lost along with the Capitals. In the NBA, the Nets lost. Knicks won along with the Celtics. And in college basketball, the women's NCAA Final Four is set. Baylor versus Oregon, Notre Dame versus UConn. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. 5:49 on Wall Street. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it is coming up on 5:50 on Wall Street. Time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion, our platform offering informed perspectives on a range of global topics and expert data-driven commentary on breaking news. We are joined live now by Jen Ryan, Bloomberg Opinion Editor in our London Bureau. Oh, Jen, it's the gift that keeps giving. Brexit, a last chance before voters take control. A piece by Therese Raphael this morning. UK lawmakers are voting on their preferred Brexit options. They managed to produce another gridlock. Oh, I'm shocked. Another gridlock. What happened?
Well, I mean, if I had come here and told you that there was a Brexit agreement, you'd probably tell me it was an April Fool's Day joke. But it's true. Well, there was another vote last night, lawmakers choosing between four Brexit options instead of eight the previous week. Once again, they've said no to anything. You know, one of the common threads through the results is that all the options received more votes than Theresa May's deal, which was, as you remember, rejected for a third time on Friday. The closest option to a majority was for a permanent customs union with the EU. That's something that's already in place as part of Britain's EU membership. That is a very long way from a stop Brexit, but it is also something that would be a deal breaker for Brexit hardliners, so hence the gridlock.
Oh, and how many times have I uttered this phrase, the clock is ticking down?
It's ticking down, but the date in question is April 12th, also known as Friday next week. And that's when Britain's going to crash out of the EU without a negotiated exit deal unless one of three things happens. Parliament approves a deal, it decides to abandon Brexit altogether, or manages to get the EU member states to give it more time. So now on Tuesday, May's cabinet is going to have an epic meeting to figure out what to do. And conservatives are deadlocked between three more options: leaving without a deal, leaving with May's deal, or pursuing closer ties with the EU through one of the options suggested on Monday. And this is really tearing the Conservative Party apart.
Yeah, you have a group of arch-Brexiters, and they're not going to take this easily, are they?
They are not. And there's been a threat that to support, there's been a threat of a vote of no confidence in the government if May accepts any kind of a soft option. But Raphael's point is that it's getting to the point where it would just be braver for May to say, you know what, bring it on, because the hardliners and the Brexiters have been consistently blocking her deal, and it's probably time for her to stop pandering and ask a different question. But Raphael also says that in the end, maybe a fracture of the Tory party is simply unavoidable if we're ever going to escape this endless torture of Brexit. So if that's true, then a general election would at least give voters a chance to choose a new parliament and maybe provide fresh motivation for a cross-party solution.
Okay, one day we'll stop talking about it. Our next story, Saudi Arabia's gas tank is running pretty low. A piece by David Fickling. How's that even possible?
Yeah, this is an excellent question, because what do we all know about Saudi Arabia? They've got a lot of oil. So it's got one-third of the Middle East oil reserves. However, it's got just 10% of the gas. So Fickling's point is that Aramco actually appears to be running kind of short on gas. You know, and there's, you know, it's not a great situation because Saudi Arabia is not on the best terms with the major other sources of supply in the region, namely Iran and Qatar. And this problem is really only going to get worse.
Okay, the one thing we all know about Saudi Aramco is that it is awash in oil, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. And so now we've got the bond sale coming along. The roadshow is going to be starting. It's going to be coming next week. And so this is what's kind of giving an impetus to all this discussion.
Okay. And this all matters right here, right now, because Aramco is marketing that bond sale.
That's exactly right. So we've looked at the prospectus, and what we're finding is that the estimates of gas reserves that had been batted around are a lot larger than what we're actually finding from the prospectus. So BP had at one point estimated 283 trillion cubic feet of natural gas reserves. Basically, what Fickling says is take two Exxon-size measures of reserve and knock that out, and then you've got the gas position of Aramco and a little bit less than that. So in other words, the kingdom's reserves, as far as Aramco goes, are looking incredibly tight.
And always a pleasure. We appreciate it, Jen Ryan. You can read more on this and other stories from Bloomberg Opinion at Bloomberg.com/opinion and on the Bloomberg Terminal by typing OPIN Go. Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. It is 5:53 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report, brought to you by American Arbitration Association. International trade or business dispute, resolve faster with the International Center for Dispute Resolution, the leader in alternative dispute resolution around the world, ICDR.org. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Joan Doniger in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
The federal government will increase baseline payment rates for private Medicare health plans by 2.53% in 2020. That's nearly a full percentage point higher than the Department of Health and Human Services had initially proposed. A House bill to extend for 10 years an electric vehicle tax credit, favored by companies like Tesla and General Motors, will likely be reintroduced this week. And bolstering retirement savings tops the House's to-do list this week, paving the way for other lawmakers to make the case for competing tax priorities.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need on one legal research platform. Guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
All right, thank you, Joan. Another legal item we're watching this morning, Facebook. It's been under attack for everything from exploiting users' personal data to having too much power and being anti-competitive. It's all part of the debate over how to rein in social media companies. So Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg went on the offensive, deciding to tell regulators how Facebook should be regulated before they told him. For more on this story, June Grosso speaks with Bloomberg News tech lobbying reporter Ben Brody.
He kind of broke it down into four areas. The first was harmful content. So that's stuff like the videos of that horrible mosque massacre a few weeks ago, how to deal with that. The next was privacy. And he kind of said that he wanted worldwide GDPR. Those are those European privacy rules. Election integrity issues, candidate ads, issue ads, things like that. And then data portability, you know, the ability for you to take your pictures and posts and likes and all those things to another competing service. He laid down some specifics, but it was more that he was sort of calling for, hey, we have to do something on these, which I think was welcome
strange
to some of the lawmakers.
Facebook, it has been under that privacy settlement agreement with the FCC. It's never been able to comply. It's so many times it has been chided for going against that agreement.
Right. Well, they would certainly say that they are in compliance, and the Federal Trade Commission is assessing that right now. We do not think that the FTC thinks that they are in compliance. We do think that they are going to be fined in that matter and probably have some exposure on some other matters. But I think that was largely the response here in Washington is, are you really kidding me that this is too little too late? Mark Zuckerberg, as one privacy advocate told me, does not get to decide how Mark Zuckerberg wants to be regulated at this point.
Democratic Representative David Cicilline of Rhode Island tweeted, Facebook is under criminal and civil investigation. It has shown it cannot regulate itself. Does anyone even want his advice? Well, does anyone, Ben?
I think that ultimately, if we have a privacy bill and that the primary sponsor of that privacy bill wants to call it an American GDPR, they can point to what Zuckerberg is doing and say, look, he laid down a rhetorical track. He, even Mark Zuckerberg, even the sort of, privacy devil, even he says he wants GDPR. Other companies, it's time to get in line. I think some of the biggest companies, Google, for instance, I think they've learned to live with GDPR for the most part. And if it's smooth, their compliance, they would probably be okay with that. But it could really split those large companies from some of the smaller ones that, are struggling to know exactly what they have to do in Europe.
That's Bloomberg News tech lobbying reporter Ben Brody speaking with Bloomberg's June Grosso. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power and Law. It airs weekdays at noon, Wall Street time, here on Bloomberg Radio. And find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. Futures pointing to a little changed open. S&P futures are a little changed to lower. Dow futures up 3 points. NASDAQ futures down 3 points. 10-year Treasury 2.47%. Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.